Good morning, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. Excuse me. Pursuant to Agenda Item 1A, Commissioner Mackay Ali is participating remotely pursuant to Government Code Section 54953B, as allowed by law, and which does not require Commission approval. As noted on the agenda, he is participating remotely from the Compton Unified School District in Compton, California, which is fully accessible and can accommodate testimony from members of the public. Commissioner Ali may participate by speakerphone. The law requires him to confirm whether any members of the public are at the teleconference location. Commissioner Ali, is any member of the public with you at your teleconference location? Commissioner Ali? On. Commissioner Ali, are you there? Can you unmute, please? We can come back to him. Mr. Chair, the next item is the Pledge of Allegiance. Item 3 is disclosure of campaign contributions. If any commissioner has received a campaign contribution that will require disclosure and recusal from an item on today's agenda, please make it known at this time. Seeing none, I have a few announcements. Consistent with state law, the agenda was posted to the LAFCO website on Tuesday, December 30th, 2025, and a revised agenda was posted to our website on Tuesday, January 6th, 2026. The revised agenda was posted here at the Kenneth Hahn Hall of Administration on Tuesday, January 6th, and the revised agenda was posted at the teleconference location at the Compton Unified School District at 501 South Santa Fe Avenue, Compton, California 90221, on Wednesday, January 7th. The agenda and public hearing notices stated that interested persons were afforded the opportunity to provide comments by email or U.S. mail no later than 5 o'clock p.m. on the business day preceding the day set for today's meeting, in order to be timely and to be considered by the commission. Council has reviewed the agenda and they have affirmed that the conduct of today's meeting is consistent with state law. When a commissioner makes or seconds a motion, please do so and state your last name so we can record it in the minutes. Because a commissioner is participating remotely, all votes at today's meeting will be by roll call. I'm gonna come back to Commissioner Ali. Are you there? Commissioner Ali? We'll check in again shortly. There are no members of the public here in the audience today. Is there anyone who may be accessing the meeting remotely who wishes to speak today? If so, please make it known. I'm not seeing any. Your next item is public comment without any members. Is there any member of the public who wants to be heard under public comment? Hearing none, your next item is the consent agenda, which includes agenda items 6A through 6K. Staff recommends one motion adopting and approving the consent agenda.
Move consent.
Sure, second. Second, McCallum. All right, we have
one. Yeah, I'm going to be recusing myself from item A. Present. I'll vote on the balance. Correct.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Chair Deer?
Did you call Commissioner McCallum? She did. Okay, I just wanted to be sure. Correct. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Should I make the motion for consent items B through K?
The record will reflect that you voted on all items except 6A. Okay.
Wonderful.
Who didn't call?
Well, then I'll say aye.
Whose name? Oh, your name was not called at all?
Correct.
Okay. So, yes, let's do a second motion for 6B through
I made the first for items 6B through K.
And you can call the roll with Commissioner Altoon, please.
Commissioner Altoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Findlay?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee? Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner McKellum? Commissioner Marish? Chair Dare?
Mr. Chairman, just a point of order. This last second motion was just a cleanup item because of our having to exclude one of our commissioners. So basically, we're following correct procedure. Thank you.
But
okay, thank you.
Just to be clear, even if we aren't present at a meeting, we can still vote on the minutes.
You can. Your custom is typically whoever is not at the meeting usually recuses themselves from the vote on the minutes.
But we don't have to.
You do not have to. You are correct.
All right. Thank you.
Hearings for 7 or 8. Item 9A is your next substantive item. This is proposed revisions to the fee reduction and waiver policy. This item is a cleanup measure to simplify the fee reduction and waiver policy, which your commission originally adopted on June 8th, 2011. We've provided you with a copy of the existing policy as attachment A. You have an attachment B, which is the strike through underline, which is also up on the screen, and then exhibit C, which is the clean version of the proposed policy. There are really three categories of changes. In the existing policy, the commission has authorized the executive officer to grant fee waivers or reductions for emergency connections to the county sanitation districts. In the 14 years that this policy has been in effect, we have had no such requests, nor do we anticipate any in the future. So for that reason, we're proposing to eliminate this designated authority. Secondly, beyond the formal requirements for a fee reduction or waiver request, we're proposing to add language to clarify that requesting parties may provide any additional information in support of granting the request. And thirdly, it's just a handful of minor non-substantive verbiage revisions to make the policy clearer and more user-friendly. Staff is recommending that the commission adopt the fee reduction and waiver policy consistent with attachment C and direct staff to post it to the website.
Mr. Chair, a question first. I'm just to be clear, this is just a administrative update given circumstances?
Correct.
So therefore, if that's the case, I will make the motion to adopt.
Second, McKellum.
Commissioner Altoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Findlay?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee? Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner McKellum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yeah.
Chair Dare?
Yeah.
Just checking in again, Commissioner Ali, are you available? Commissioner Ali? Your next item, Mr. Chair and Commissioners, is Agenda Item 9B, Position Salary Ranges. At your December 10th meeting, and at the request of Commission Vice Chair Gerard McKellum, the Commission voted to continue this item to today's meeting. Commissioner McKellum wanted to be sure that a county representative would be present for discussion of the item. And as you may recall, there were no county supervisors at your December 10th meeting. Looking around today, you've probably noticed there are no county supervisors at today's meeting. Unfortunately, all five county supervisors are members of the Metro Board, and they had a special meeting today concerning the 2028 Olympics. So they are all there. So for this reason, staff recommends that you continue this item to the February 11th, 2026 meeting. We have confirmed that at least one county supervisor will be present for that meeting. So the recommendation is that you continue it to February 11th.
Move approval.
Second, McKellum.
Commissioner Altoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Findlay?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McKellum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Aye.
Chair Dare?
Item 9C is a CALAFCO draft regional map revision and proposed new board structure. A CalAFCO working group has formulated proposals to make several bylaw changes impacting the board's operation, the nature of their volunteer positions, and their regional structures. These changes include allowing LAFCO executive officers to serve on the CalAFCO Board of Directors, and currently, only LAFCO commissioners can do so. Second, the existing CalAFCO executive officer and three deputy executive officers, who are staff at various LAFCOs around the state who staff the Board of Directors, will no longer serve as voting members of the board. That voting authority, granted recently and intended as an interim measure, would no longer be necessary should executive officers be allowed to run for and serve on the board. Taylor, if you could go back one map. CalAFCO, this is the current map of the CalAFCO regions. There are four regions. LA LAFCO is part of the southern region, along with Imperial, Orange, Riverside, San Bernardino, and San Diego LAFCOs. This region currently appoints four members to a 16-member CalAFCO Board of Directors. Go to the next slide, please. The CalAFCO Working Group proposes a new structure with nine regions, and it maintains a 16-member board. LA LAFCO would be part of the new South Coast region with Orange and San Diego LAFCOs, and this new region would appoint two members to a 16-member board. And the last provision is a provision or proposal is a provision that would prohibit any individual LAFCO from appointing more than one member to the CalAFCO Board of Directors. We're appreciative of CalAFCO for soliciting input from LAFCOs who are not currently members. Unfortunately, their deadline for comment was last Friday, so we provided input with the note, we staff, that we would have this on the agenda today, and we may provide additional input if we receive any additional input from you today. We communicated to CalAFCO that we support most of the working group's recommendations. Frankly, most of those are addressing concerns that form the basis of your commission's decision not to renew our membership. We also noted three concerns. We oppose the proposal to limit any individual LAFCO from appointing more than one member to the CalAFCO Board of Directors. Currently, there's no such restriction. And secondly, in the past, it's pretty rare for any one LAFCO to have two commissioners on the board. Additionally, the four regions, three of the existing four regions have more than a dozen LAFCOs, so they have a large pool to draw from. Under the new structure that they're proposing, you would have nine regions, and five of those would have between three and six LAFCOs. So, and at least three of those proposed regions, not all LAFCOs are CalAFCO members, and it's possible you could have a region with only one LAFCO. We fail to see how limiting membership among smaller regions with fewer members serves any legitimate purpose. We're also concerned that the proposal would prevent competent, dedicated, and committed individuals from serving on the CalAFCO board. Should the working group's proposals be adopted, there would be a new election for the board of directors of all 16 board members at the CalAFCO annual conference in October. Given changes to the board structure, no current board members would run an incumbent. The working group proposal, however, fails to identify who would fill the board officer positions, chair, vice chair, treasurer, and secretary. Staff feels strongly that the slate of officers on the current board should not automatically assume these positions on a new board. We therefore encouraged CalAFCO to require that a newly elected board seated in October, upon their seating, elect a new slate of board members to serve as board officers. CalAFCO plans to consider additional input and present a final presentation to a virtual meeting of its membership on Monday, February 23rd. Again, we present these comments, we present the proposal today for your consideration and input. And if you have any additional comment, we will provide that on to CalAFCO. Separately, we plan to agendize a discussion of CalAFCO membership at either your February or March meeting for you to consider and give us some direction, because we'll be working on the budget at that time in terms of what to do for next fiscal year. And that concludes my report, and we'd be happy to entertain any questions or discussion.
Okay. Well, gee, this opens up a whole new Pandora's box. Okay. So let's just kind of summarize this here. Executive directors can sit on the board now?
If these reforms are approved, executive officers of LAFCOs, so the 58 EOs would be allowed to compete and run for a seat on the board of directors.
Okay, and what percentage of that board could be executive officers?
There's no limit. However, there are various opinions on what the outcome would be. My perspective, and I would speak for Adriana as well, we've had long conversations about this. We believe it would be challenging for any executive officer of a LAFCO to run for a board seat, certainly against their own commissioner. That would be career suicide. But I think even against a commissioner from another LAFCO within your region. So my expectation is that at most you would see somewhere between 2 and 4 executive officers on a 16-member board. I think that would be likely to come from one of the regions where commissioners or LAFCOs are just not as engaged, so they don't have the volunteerism. We've never had that problem in the southern region. We've always had active, engaged, interested commissioners. Or potentially in regions where, due to certain LAFCOs no longer belonging as members, you may have a region with, say, 5 LAFCOs, but only 3 of them are members, so you have a smaller pool to draw from. But they deliberately chose not to establish any type of a quota.
Okay. Now, you said, was it February 23rd that they were going to be having a discussion on this?
Yeah. Okay. To change their, they've changed a lot of policies because those the board can change. Any change of CalAFCO's bylaws, it's normally done in person at the annual conference. It can also be virtual, so they're scheduling a virtual meeting on Monday, February 23rd for the entire membership.
Okay, I guess I was wondering, is that something that we can sit in on?
We cannot because we are not currently members.
Okay, I guess I was, well, you can probably get a kind of a general rundown on how their board is feeling about all this. I don't know, this kind of sounds like, wow, we better go ahead and change or we're going to lose even more LAFCOs, which I think is you know, props to them for going ahead and trying to change with the times. But I'd be interested in hearing what the membership is saying. Is this kind of running against the grain of the administration, the current administration there? Are they the ones that are proposing it? What are members saying, other members saying about this?
I don't know that I have a complete handle on that. I would say the working group that created this included representatives of 10 LAFCOs, so there was pretty broad outreach. I don't know that there is universal support for everything. I think there are a couple areas that are concerned about the new map and how that plays out. And I know that there are a couple current board members who do not support the idea of executive officers serving on the board. But I think generally, as far as I can tell, and it's limited and most of my information is secondhand, I think many of the proposals have pretty broad support.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. So I know I've expressed in the past a bit of frustration. We're one of many counties, but we represent something like 25% of the population of the state. Is there any talk about our having an automatic seat? Is that something that if we decided we wanted to rejoin the organization, we could ask for? Because clearly, representing a quarter of the state's population, we should our voice should be heard at the top level.
To the best of my knowledge, there's been no discussion of an automatic seat. Having said that, we're currently in a region with 6 LAFCOs that have 4 seats on that appoint 4 people to the board. Right now, 4 of those 6 LAFCOs do not belong to CalAFCO. I don't know if, assuming this new map were approved, we would be in a region with 2 other LAFCOs, and those 2 LAFCOs may or may not rejoin. So at sort of your worst case scenario, the drawing pool would be if LA, Orange, and San Diego all rejoined, our 3 LAFCOs collectively would appoint 2 members to the CalAFCO board.
Out of how many?
Out of 16 total on the board.
So that's 1/8, but
that is correct.
So how, but if you add Orange and San Diego to the population total of LA County, we're not looking at 10 plus million. We're looking at how many?
Probably, I would guess 15. LA's about 11. My presumption would be you'd get another two or three if you added in the other two counties. Gerard's nodding his head.
So we're then closer to 40% of the state's population with only 1/8 of the representation. And so, again, I think we need to be looking at, if we are going to consider rejoining the organization, figuring out a way to create equitable representation for, from a population perspective as well. It just seems to be a matter of basic fairness. Thank you.
I'm on the same page as John for the most part. I think, first of all, they've made tremendous strides in actually revising some of this. But, you know, going to this new sort of map does dilute the southern region's representation. John, to your point, we're about 16 million in population, but with the caps, it only puts us at 2.1 based upon their proposal. I think that's problematic. I think they should only use the cap maybe for, you know, which is a discussion they want for dues calculation, but not necessarily for representation or equity amongst all the other LAFCOs. We represent probably a region with the most complex situations, the workload, and actually probably represent and provide most of the information that would be important for all LAFCOs, yet the representation that's kind of put here really dilutes the southern region in a major way. And I'm wondering if that was designed because we are not a part of the LAFCO and they're looking for greater representation for the other regions. I don't know. I think that's going to be the problem for us actually to consider whether or not we rejoin. Because right now, currently, if we continue on with what's our group called, the Alliance of LAFCOs or something, we would have greater representation on our own and probably have a greater impact than the rest of the LAFCOs. So I think that's, out of all the other sort of issues that we could kind of quibble with, EOs or whatever, the representation part is significantly deficient here, as far as I'm concerned, for the southern region.
I don't know the answer to that observation. I would point out right now, the six southern region LAFCOs appoint four board members, and it would really be seven appointing four board members in the new plan. Mm-hmm. My suspicion is that there would be some degree of pushback if we were to say we think that number should be higher. That's just my observation.
I agree, and that might be the decision as to whether or not we join
right.
back or not. Right?
Should.
Yeah.
Just a quick question, as I'm getting acclimated to this in real time. What's the function of the population cap?
My understanding what they were trying to do is create regions that had reasonably similar populations, kind of around a million or more, but they recognized that if you didn't have some type of cap for the counties with more than a million, it would throw off that balance. What's interesting is right now you have four regions that each elect four board members. In their new plan, there's nine regions, seven of them have two board members. Two of the regions only have one. Those two regions are, I think it's Cascade, Sierra, and North Coast, which have populations that are under a million. So that was some attempt to balance it a little bit, but you are correct. If you look at, you know, let's take our region, which is South Coast, which has a population of 16 million. The closest one after that, I think, is the South Bay, which is kind of the south half of the Bay Area, and that's at 5 million. They were trying to, I don't think there's a good answer to it, to be honest with you. I will say that I think there would be some pushback to us having three or more, say a higher number, just because of the population. Rightly or wrongly, I'm not taking a position on it.
Are the counties in the northern part of California feeling left out? I mean, again, their representation up there is going to be diminished, and are they feeling, rightfully or wrongfully so, that, hey, wait a minute, we count?
I've heard that there's been some questions about the fact that those two regions only have one board member, and a little bit of questions about how they divided up the regions in the Bay Area. Those are apparently the two issues that have been forwarded to CalAFCO staff. I'm trying to think of a gentle way to say this. Traditionally, those regions in the north have been less engaged in CalAFCO matters on kind of the volunteerism side. So I think to some degree they've been less active than, say, the Bay Area, the Central Valley, or the Southern Region memberships.
Okay, thank you.
And again, we'll put the broader discussion on your February agenda, because in all candor, we're doing a draft budget for March and a final budget for April, and we need some direction on that component of the budget. So we can put the broader discussion on it. You won't have the benefit of your meeting in February is before their vote, but you'll still have, you know, it would give us some help in figuring out kind of how to budget and plan for next year.
Mine is more of a question. Given the makeup of the map, the two major financial centers, of course, are the San Francisco, Santa Clara, and Alameda, and then, of course, the southern area, which is the three counties that are not members of LAFCO at this moment, economically are giants compared to any other area here. Is any consideration, because I know our organization here does inject what the economic contribution is toward the representation.
I can't speak to whether that was a factor they considered or not.
But I just want to bring that up, that maybe that should be a consideration given the economic weight we carry should be taken into account if we ever rejoin this organization.
Understood.
Well, if I read it correctly, they really just looked at population, right? Because they didn't even look at, which was when John's concerned, dues relative to equity in the population determination. So, like I was saying earlier, workload, complexity of each of the wasn't considered in.
You are correct.
Yeah, so it was just strictly, and that might have been the simplest way for them to address it. But again, the dilution of the southern region is pretty major in the reworking of this.
Now, that might be an alternative. Instead of basing it on economics, base it on the actual population of the given section.
Well, I think maybe the approach would be, do they realize how diluted the most populous area on the map is now suffering because of this? And what would be the proposal? I do think that an additional representation is warranted in this, but like you're saying, I don't know if they would go for that. But they have to recognize that the dilution of the southern region, it just has an impact, and why would we want to join?
Understood. One of the things we were careful to say is that there's a lot of changes going on, and one I forgot to mention is that currently the southern region, can you go back to the last map, please? Currently, each of those four regions has categories of commissioners. So like you have to have one county, one city, one special district, one public. That's universally loathed amongst LAFCOs. Nobody likes that quote-unquote quota system, because what happens, and it's happened to us, for the public member, for example, we've always been oversubscribed in our region. There's always been three or four commissioners from the various LAFCOs really interested, and Gerard knows they've sort of had to kind of take turns.
Right.
We've always struggled to find a county supervisor member, so that would be eliminated. The executive officers could run. There's a lot of other changes that are going on, and yeah. One of the things we were careful to say is that we don't know that the current regional map is broken. To some degree, there is some sentiment among some LAFCOs of, why don't we make all these other changes but still keep the four regions? Now, again, that would keep us with the map that's here with the four members. And again, I have to point out, of those six LAFCOs currently in the southern region, four of us do not belong. Right now, Imperial and Riverside are the only two. We would expect, obviously, they stay as members, but that could grow to three, it could grow to six, or it could stay at two, depending on what our four decide to do.
Any idea, or have you spoken to like Orange or anything to see what they thought about these proposed changes? Just curious.
The sentiment of the new, there was generally support for the new map, with the sense that they sort of saw the representation as a draw. There's six LAFCOs right now. We have four seats. There would be seven with the addition of Inyo to that sort of inland chapter. But INEO's not, our understanding is it's not a very active LAFCO, so it may not change much. I think there's a little bit of concern that we've always been in the region together, so a little bit of concern about breaking that up in some respect. The new map there was generally support for. Whether or not those LAFCOs will rejoin, though, is a decision for them to make, and I don't expect we'll know for probably not until March. But we can certainly take the comments that you've given us today back to CalAFCO. I will also ideally ask their three people on the transition team to listen to this discussion, because our audio will be up on our website probably by Monday at the latest. There's no action required. Mr. Chair, your next item is Commissioner's Report. Executive Officer's Report, I have a few items. The first pertains to the special district seats on the commission. As you may recall, Commissioner Lewis, the voting member, Commissioner Ali, the alternate member, the two representing special districts, their term of office is up in May. We have started the process to appoint commissioners for those two seats. That process started on Monday of this week. We've given you a copy of the election schedule, as well as the letter from Bill Cruz, my designee, also with the nominating package. We will provide you with updates as elections proceed over the next few months. Alliance of LAFCOs, based upon the approval of representatives of all four member LAFCOs and on behalf of the Alliance of LAFCOs, San Diego LAFCO has finalized an agreement with Chris Lee of Politico Group, Inc. Politico Group is a Sacramento-based lobbyist. Chris Lee is a well-known lobbyist with reputation, strong experience in urban planning and transportation-related issues. He will represent the Alliance before the legislature in the Newsom administration through the end of the legislative session this fall. That contract was just executed on Monday, so that just happened. In terms of CalAFCO, they have a 6 to 9 month action plan with an update. We've provided you hard copies of that. And finally, your Form 700 filing is due on Wednesday, April 1st. The County of Los Angeles Conflict of Interest Division should have already emailed you a link to the online form. I received mine. Please file your form through the online system, or mail a completed Form 700 to our office. If you need any assistance, Alicia O'Brien in my office can assist you. And this concludes my report. No commission action is required.
Comment?
Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard under public comment? Just one last check. Commissioner Lee, are you there? Turn it back to Mr. Chair. Ali, who did I say?
I am. Oh.
Yes, Commissioner Lee, we know you're here. My apologies.
All right, future meetings, the next meeting will be February 11th, and I'll be 1 year older that day.
Your actual birthday?
Birthday's the 10th.
All right.
So, you'll have a big celebration in all your communities.
Okay.
And that's our next regular meeting. If there's no further business, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Good. Okay, so tell me, how was